Sami Awad is a Palestinian peacenik. He's also the executive director of Holy Land Trust, a non-governmental organization in Bethlehem, which produces tours, multi-faith encounters, fact-finding missions, and nonviolence training workshops. This summer, he was on a speaking tour in the United States. I caught up with him in the Holy Land Trust offices in Los Angeles. He described himself and his work in this telephone interview.
Well, my name is Sami Awad, and I'm a Palestinian Christian from Bethlehem. I grew up all my life in Bethlehem until I had to come to the United States in order to finish my education in college and university after the Israeli army in 1987-88 shut down all educational institutes in the occupied West Bank due to the uprising, the Intifada, which took place at that time.
So that was during the first Intifada, is that right?
Exactly, during the first Intifada.
Okay.
I have a BA degree in political science from the University of Kansas, and I have a master's degree in international relations from the American University in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
I then returned back to Palestine when I finished my education. I was here for about 8 years in the United States. Returned to Palestine and have been working for the Palestinian people, specifically in the Bethlehem area. I'm currently married, and me and my wife have a 3-month-old baby girl.
Oh, really? A baby girl born during the second Intifada.
A baby girl during the second Intifada was born during the April incursion into Bethlehem, where, if you remember, we lived under the siege of the Church of Nativity during that time under curfews.
I do remember that quite well. Mm-hmm. That must have been quite an adventure, having a baby during that time.
It was something very difficult for us because we knew Rana was about to have the baby at any time now, and the army was planning to coming into Bethlehem. So what we actually did was we actually had to escape from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, taking very bad and rough dirt roads in order to get to Jerusalem. We consider ourselves very lucky to be able to have that opportunity and friends who were able to help us escape from Bethlehem. And we had the baby in Jerusalem, and a week later returned with the army still present, but return to our home, because if we were not in our home, then our home itself would be in danger of being attacked and possibly destroyed by the Israeli army.
Were you in danger while you were in Jerusalem?
In Jerusalem, we were not in danger. We were in the Palestinian area in East Jerusalem. We stayed at an uncle's house over there. We did not move much from there because we didn't have the proper papers and documents to be able to move in Jerusalem. So it was at the house, to the hospital, and back to the house where we stayed until we came into Bethlehem.
And you didn't need the papers in order to be in the hospital?
No. It was a Palestinian hospital, private hospital. So there was no coverage as far as insurance, so we had to cover that cost. But that was a small price to pay for having a healthy baby and the wife. And the sad situation is that when Rana had our child, 2 hours later we got a call from friends in Bethlehem, and they were informing us of a sad story about a Palestinian woman in Bethlehem who lost her child because she was not able to get to the hospital. And between her car where she was and the hospital, which was 50 meters away from them, there was an Israeli army tank that had blocked the road and had refused for them to enter, even when her family said, "We'll just carry her, you know, no need to take the car." the army had refused for her to move from that spot. And so she lost her child. The child was born dead there. So it was very emotional for us as we were celebrating the birth of our girl. This family was mourning the death of their baby, and it could have easily been something that we would have experienced as well if we stayed in Bethlehem.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, those stories are not uncommon. That's not an unusual story, as I understand it. What's the baby's name? What's your daughter's name?
The girl's name is Layar.
Layar.
L-A-Y-A-R.
Nice name.
Thank you.
So you're back in Bethlehem after a period of education in the United States, and is it correct then to say that you formed the Holy Land Trust, or that the Holy Land Trust was formed after you got back? I understand it was set up in 1998.
Yeah, Holy Land Trust was actually initiated by a very big program called the Journey of the Magi. The Journey of the Magi was an idea that had been in development for several years prior to the year 2000. The idea was to celebrate the birth of Jesus in his 2000th birthday with a reenactment of the Journey of the Magi. And what actually happened was a number of people from different parts of the world participated in this journey, which we call the Journey for Peace. And they actually traveled for 99 days in the desert from Iraq, crossing the Syrian desert into Jordan and then to Palestine, on walking and on camels. No vehicles were used. Retracing the steps of the Magi, introducing themselves to the peoples of the land, praying with the people of the land, praying for peace of the Middle East, and then arriving in Bethlehem on Christmas Day the year 2000. Holy Land Trust was formed with the Journey of the Magi, as both of them developed, the organization was also developed in 1998.
So that was your launching event, was the Journey of the Magi?
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Who are the people who participated in that journey? You describe yourself as a Palestinian Christian, and I have to say that it seems strange to me to ask you questions about that, except that you've brought it up. If I were talking to somebody that I'd never met before in my own hometown, I would never ask to know about their religion or their ethnic background unless they introduced the subject. But I find that in talking to people about the Middle Eastern issue, that it's front and center. It's the first thing that that people talk about. So I wonder, I wonder what type of Christians? Was it primarily Christians who went on this journey? And if so, what types of Christians? Were they indigenous Christians? Were they Christians from around the world, or what?
Yeah, the participants of the Journey of the Magi were Christians, and Christians from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We had four of the five continents represented. So we had people from Asia, Africa, Europe, and the Americas represented in this Journey of the Magi. The core group of the journey was 16 individuals. Those are the ones who actually did the entire journey from south of Baghdad all the way to Bethlehem. But throughout the journey, hundreds of people would join them for a one-day or a two-day trip with them, walking and participating in their activities. Christians and Muslims from these countries welcomed them in their homes and asked them to pray for their peace and for their families. So it was a combination of religions and cultures that participated in this journey.
I see. So there were Muslims who were involved in it too, in a sense.
Yes, Muslims were involved in a lot of the preparation work. We had to get approval from governments, so the Iraqi government, the Syrian government, we had the Jordanians, who had to get the blessings from these governments in order for the Magi to walk in their land and in their country. The Magi met with many Muslim leaders of the Middle East and introduced them to Westerners and foreigners who really cared for the situation of people in the Middle East, who saw the humanity of people living there, not just the big headlines of the news, what people think of people in Iraq and people of Palestine and so on. So it was very wonderful for both people to interact and see that there are people on the other side that really care and have concern about their well-being and their future.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like quite an exciting project. You sound like somebody who thinks that peace is possible in the Middle East.
I do believe so, and it has to be. Peace is the only way for survival, for everybody to survive in the Middle East. We need peace. So it's a must on us, and it's a lot of work. It's not easy to reach peace, but we need it, and I'm very optimistic that through the work we're doing, as well as many other organizations that are working on peace and justice, we will be able to reach peace in that region.
Well, let's talk about that in some more detail. What kind of role does the Holy Land Trust play in the peace movement in Palestine?
Holy Land Trust is one of several organizations that are promoting and teaching and developing with the Palestinian community new approaches to resisting the occupation, what we call nonviolence resistance to the Israeli occupation. Mm-hmm. We believe nonviolence is a very powerful weapon when used by the people. The Palestinians have a history of using nonviolence during the First Intifada in 1987. According to certain reports, between 85 and 90% of all activities conducted by Palestinians were nonviolent in nature. The Palestinian nonviolent movement can even be traced back to 1936 during the mass demonstrations that took place at that time.
Could you just pause there for a moment and give us a couple examples? Because that's, let me tell you something. You're talking about events that people here, I think, know next to nothing about, or maybe even absolutely nothing about. Those kinds of events don't break the surface of our media, and it would be really ground-shaking to hear some information about them.
Mm-hmm.
How about 1937? Tell what happened in 1937?
1936, yeah.
36.
In 1936, the Palestinian population participated and led a mass protest movement in Palestine calling for the British, who had the mandate over Palestine at that time, to grant the Palestinians the right to build a state and have a state under that land and mandate. And
where
they
did
participated
this happen?
In many activities such as economic boycotts, demonstrations on the streets, many activities of protest and so on in the streets of many cities in Palestine, demanding that they have to, the right to establish a state in that area.
So this was all over Palestine?
All over Palestine in 1936.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1987, during the first uprising against the Israeli occupation, again, all of the Palestinian population involved participated in many, many activities, such as, again, economic boycotts of the Israeli products, refusing to pay taxes to the Israeli military authority, closing of shops when the Israeli army was forcing people to open shops, and vice versa. Refusing to go to work in Israeli factories and businesses. So many people who used to work in Israel during that time boycotted that completely. Palestinians who were involved in working with Israeli police forces just in basic civil duty also pulled themselves out of that function and boycotted that completely. It created a lot of pressure on the Israeli government, and it created a lot of awareness internationally about the reality of the occupation and the situation that Palestinians are living under.
My name is Jim Terrell, and I've been talking to Sammy Awad. Sammy Awad is the executive director of Holy Land Trust in Bethlehem. You can hear that whole interview this fall on Peace Watch Middle East on CJLY, that's 93.5 FM, Kootenai Co-op Radio, Nelson, B.C.